comes to pop, not soda.
It's pop. Like this. Pop.
Welcome to Pop, Not Soda. And now it's time for Brian, and... Oh, damn. Enjoy the show!
What's up, everybody? We are back. It is Pop Not Soda here for season two, 2016, right, Dan?
According to my calculations, yes.
Nice. And Brian, how was your 2016 so far?
Well, we're about 13 days in, so it's just been all sunshine and gummy bears so far.
Nice. I like that.
Actually, there hasn't been much sunshine, but...
What kind of gummy bears?
Metaphorically. Well, the clear, which I believe is pineapple, if I'm not mistaken. That was always my favorite flavor.
You know, I just found that out like a year ago that's pineapple. That was always my favorite flavor, but I didn't know what the hell it actually
right, like
was.
What's clear? Like, what? There's no natural fruit for clear.
You know what that sound is, guys?
Better studio equipment.
Damn straight.
Yep.
I just feel like I sound so smooth and sexy right now on this mic.
Ladies and gents, Pop Not Soda has upgraded for season two, episode one. We have a mixer, mics... shock mics that I don't even know what the hell they do.
Yeah, Santa Claus, a frequent listener, decided to drop off some gifts, so now we're legit. Might I say, we're too legit to quit.
Ooh,
that's actually our slogan for season two. forget Wheatley's Sitz Patch of Pop Culture.
Brian did the hand sign too, in case anybody was wondering.
Yeah, for those watching it,
because that's how podcasts work.
Brian, cut it out.
Oh, you're go. Wow.
Dropping it right there.
Yep.
But yeah, hey, we are here. It's Pop Not Soda for 2016, episode one. How's 2016 been so far in San Diego, guys? I was out.
El Nino, bro.
Ooh.
Super mega El Nino.
It's back.
It's like a Mexican little boy mixed with a Japanese super robot anytime the weather people talk about it. Because they call it mega super El Nino.
Yeah, this has been a nasty one so far.
Yeah, for all of 2.5 days.
Yeah, it rains more than like 2 hours. That's bullshit.
People are losing their mind.
I paid too much in rent to fucking, yeah, have to deal with the rain.
I went on a cruise for 4 days. I came back because we didn't have cell phone service or anything like that. So I came back and I turned on Facebook the last day. It was Wednesday. And it looked like a hurricane struck. I guess we had tornado warnings.
There were tornado warnings. Yeah.
Has that ever happened before?
La Jolla, North County.
You know, usually off the coast.
I don't really, I mean, that seems like a pretty loose definition of tornado. For there to send out a warning, you know, through a large part of San Diego County. That just seems a little
aggressive to me. I really hope our listeners notice that we are so dedicated to season two that we kicked off the show talking about the weather.
Well, that's all anybody was fucking talking about for two goddamn weeks.
That's all San Diego's been talking
all
about.
All of our UK listeners are just going to be cursing at us right now.
But we did have other stuff going on in 2016 so far. That affluenza teen is on the loose. You guys have been reading about that?
Oh, yes. His mom's all up in jail.
Spreading his disease to the poor Mexican people.
It's sad, but every time I see that article, I think that the kid actually has the flu.
Yeah, well, I didn't know what the fuck it was until I like started reading about
it's
it.
Because it doesn't exist, Brian.
Yeah,
this is the first time, right?
Yeah, yeah, slapdick lawyer invented this stupid fucking term.
Texas. This is the new Twinkie defense, I guess.
What's
speaking of
Twinkies
and cream filled things that never get old? The Playboy Mansion is up for sale.
Ooh.
Yeah, just go down that road.
Okay, I got it. Yeah. I'm with you. Nice.
How much is it up for sale for?
I think it's probably going to sell for like $100 million, but I feel like if Hugh Hefner stays in it, they'll sell it for double that.
You mean his dead body? Or just him alive?
That's something you got to think about, because if you do buy it with him in it, you're probably only going to have to put up with him for like a year or two, you know?
Oh, yeah, if that.
You would have to make Hugh pay for like a deep cleaning of everything, right?
Oh, God. I don't even want to think about that. You know, my thing is every time...
Probably just burn the whole second floor down, you know?
All the carpet.
What about you? Yeah. What about the grotto, too? Like, you and all the pool filters and jacuzzi filters are probably clogged.
I bet you there are...
Not him, though. Because you're not saying Hugh.
I bet you there are at least 7 or 8 rooms in that Playboy Mansion that you literally walk in and in about 2 minutes you get cancer because it smells so bad of cigarette smoke from like the 60s and 70s.
Well,
and
I would think
you just get gonorrhea.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. You just get some sort of venereal disease. Like as soon as your toe touches the carpet.
I feel like if you bought the mansion, a lifetime supply of penicillin should come with.
Oh, yeah. Well, I always think about it, too. Like,
that's your parting gift.
How irresponsible of it is as, like, a residential purchase? Because that thing has, like, so many goddamn, like, fun park, you know, like,
isn't
components
it, like,
to it.
A monkey zoo on it, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, how much electricity do you think that thing actually, like, cranks out?
Oh,
shit. It has to be a shitload.
When did it become too risque to put the Playboy Mansion on TV shows? Because it was like it was on the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
I was just
going to
say Fresh Prince. Yeah.
Beverly Hills Cop 2. Like, it used to be in a lot of movies and TV shows. And
yeah.
You haven't seen it since that reality TV show.
Yeah. They tried to hit it hard with the House Bunny, and that one fell really flat. Chested. Get it? Get it?
Well,
get it?
Not that show, actually. I think that was its only saving grace.
Flat.
That was terrible. That was terrible.
New equipment can't save the lines.
Shit.
Oh, man. But you know what? $200 million is a lot of money for a house.
Oh, yeah. It's sad to me, too. As soon as I heard about the purchase price, I'm like, shit, man. That's a lot of money. I can buy the Playboy, the Mansion, the video game for about $2 at GameStop right now.
Is that a real thing?
Oh, it absolutely is, Dan. Oh, it came out on, I think, the Xbox or something like that.
Well, excuse me, guys. I got to go run an errand real quick.
But, you know, it's not that much money if you were to win the Powerball.
Ooh.
Oh, the Powerball. Now, what's this? I have not
heard
anything
about
this.
Guys, we're like 20 minutes away right now while we're recording this from the drawing. But you all should know that I won the Powerball tonight when you listen to this on Monday.
How much did you win, Dan?
It's at $1.5 billion, so if I took the 30 payments over 30 years, I'm looking at like $23 million a year for 30 years.
Is that all? Oh.
After taxes.
Okay.
What would the lump sum be? Have they calculated that?
I think the lump sum is like just under 600. Or, yeah, just under $600 million.
Oh, God.
$600 million.
They take $1 billion.
After taxes,
yeah,
because you only get like 70% if you get the lump sum, and then... You give half of that away,
right?
So,
if you actually won the money, this is a serious question. Who are you fearing is that one person that's actually going to call you and like try to collect?
Oh, no one, because I have a new cell phone. I'm sorry.
Good call. Actually, I didn't even think about that. I did not even think about that.
I heard that if you win the lotto, don't tell anybody. Then text all of your friends asking to borrow $500, and when they say they can't let you borrow any money. Then when you win the lottery, they have no leg to stand on when they ask you for money.
Oh,
damn! You are a sick bastard when it comes to things.
Oh yeah, sorry guys. I mean, you guys can. I mean, I'll still hang out with you.
How about you, Brian? You got anybody that you would fear that would be calling you and hunting down for somebody like being like, "Hey, Brian, remember that favor from back in the day? Remember when you bought me that yo-yo from 7-Eleven
in 6th grade? Girlfriends, that's like, remember that like." Hand job I gave you.
They're charging. They're collecting on it. 15
they never
years
paid
later.
For, plus interest. Yeah,
that was a lot.
Fuck you, Sasha. You're never getting paid. No, I mean, probably just like people that I've owed miscellaneous money to. You know, like $10 here, $5 there. Coming out of the word woodworks. But not anyone specific that I can think of. I think literally just every single one of my friends would be like, "Hey man, I got this great idea for a business." I'm like, "Nah, bitch, I got a podcast already that I'm gonna dump money into."
I will bet you $600 million that I'll be knocking on your door if you win it.
But you know what could be a good cause is maybe donating some of that money to Stephen Avery's defense.
Oh,
if you don't know who Stephen Avery is,
we will be talking about that later because that is a big part of this episode. We need to be talking about Making the Murderer, the Netflix series that just came out. What, about a month ago?
I'm assuming that you're living under a rock if you don't know who we're talking about,
or right? In Manitowoc County.
That's just hell. You're living in hell.
Yeah. Or you live in buttfuck.
But no, I think the biggest thing that's happened so far in the short 2 weeks is the fact that the NFL voted on which teams are moving to Los Angeles.
Yeah, 32 owners collected in Houston to discuss it.
You can find me in St. Louis, except if you're the Rams, because they're not going to be there anymore. Sorry, Nelly.
Yeah, so St.
Brian should have broke that story.
Should have. Would have came out. Yeah, I feel like the residents in Missouri would have really appreciated that. But yeah, St. Louis Rams are going to be the Los Angeles Rams once again.
And it was a 30-32 vote, which I'm wondering who the two other teams. I'm pretty that didn't sure it's
Mark
for.
Davis and Dean Spanos who are just pissed.
Exactly.
And then the Chargers have a year to negotiate terms with the Rams to move to LA. And if they don't do that, then the Raiders have that option to negotiate terms and move.
Right. And then I heard something today about some date in March where I think that's the date that they have to commit whether to work out a deal in San Diego or move to LA.
That's where they have to commit if they're going to play 2016 in San Diego or LA.
Oh, okay. So they could temporarily play.
Lease Qualcomm again for a year. But then still move to LA next year.
Now, does Qualcomm have any edge? Because this is what I wonder about too. Can Qualcomm do they have any leverage to actually book events during the NFL season on Sunday at this time?
Have you been to Qualcomm Stadium?
Well, monster rallies.
No, they don't go there anymore. They go to Petco now.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, monster people even step it up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, bro.
Shit, like, man.
People from East County are like, we can't go to Qualcomm.
Sorry, not
anymore,
to shit on anybody like that, but I didn't even know it stepped up to Petco now.
Oh, yeah.
So what is that, Qualcomm? Barnum and Bailey?
No.
The Aztecs?
The Aztecs, who had their best season ever.
Right, who had bunch a much of better season than the Chargers.
Bunch of college kids that can actually sit on concrete for four quarters.
What else is at Qualcomm? That's it, bro.
Yeah, in the stadium. They use that lot for like those car shows.
Yeah.
And the used tent... car sale.
The giant used car tent sale.
Sunday. I'm really taking advantage of having my own mic, guys. I'm sorry.
No, I know. I just tested that too right there. We should go into voice acting after this.
Yeah, you know, get some tips from John Allen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But was it at all a surprise to you that the Rams were going to be the team that actually moved to LA?
No.
No, not at all.
No. And this is the second time a team's left St. Louis, correct?
Who was the first one?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Well, I thought I read
crack
that.
Crack research.
Yeah, we'll get the...
We actually have an intern now.
Yeah, guys, right. We're on mics. We can't leave this now.
We're in the studio. Yeah. We need the production booth to look that up.
Next segment, we'll have that answer.
Yeah, and then we'll come up with a name, too.
Just
I mean, we'll get his name. We haven't asked yet.
Hey, Benjamin, can you look that up for us?
It's definitely not his name.
Hey, Benji, get on it, bro.
We keep calling him Benji, though.
You guys... No wonder he doesn't answer you.
Well, he's your friend. Anyway. So, yeah, though, they're moving back, though, and the Chargers have the option to move. We can decide as of March, though, if we want to play in San Diego still or move to Inglewood.
Inglewood?
Which, I've been up to the Forum before. We're going to play next to the Forum, right?
Dude,
holy shit.
It's going to be the
NFL Disney World. Like, a stadium isn't the only thing being built. They're building a theater for the NFL so that they can house the draft. They're building state-of-the-art...
halfway houses?
No.
Prisons?
Inglewood's not that bad, guys. But no, state-of-the-art facilities so that the Combine will take place in LA. Basically, Kroenke said, hey, if you vote for me, I'll give you a hub in LA.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be on the East Coast on the snow.
Yeah.
And studios from the NFL Network, like... It's going to be a big deal. Plus, Kroenke's building housing for people, and it's going to create a lot of jobs in a neighborhood like that. And I even think the Forum's going to get some work, too, in his plan. So,
I'll tell you, the scariest liquor store I ever went to was in Inglewood. We went to the Louis C.K. concert, and that thing, I'm not kidding. I've never been into a liquor store before that had, it looked like roller coaster rails because they had been robbed so many times. They had bulletproof casing in the front or whatever. I don't know if that's where I want to watch my football team play.
Yeah, but you got to think about San Diego and how that exact same scenario happened with Petco.
That's true.
Because you wouldn't go to East Village 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
15 years, well, 15 years ago.
I mean, you still can't go like three blocks down from East Village.
Yeah.
By the way, our intern, he let me know that it was the Arizona Cardinals.
They were in St. Louis. St. Louis. That's right.
That's right.
So about the 60s.
That is right.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Did you hear Spanos' statement, though?
Fuck Dean Spanos.
Yeah.
I think that's...
Fuck that guy.
That's a universal feeling among San Diego is, get the fuck out of here, Dean Spanos. We don't give a shit about you. Man, you are the ex-girlfriend that comes back and... you left us to try to find the better person. You didn't. And now you're coming begging back to us every other year. Like, we're done with it.
You know what? I think he is the NFL owner version of a fuckboy. Is basically what Dean Spanos is.
You know who?
Please elaborate.
Where he doesn't really want anything serious. He's telling you that he's interested, but not really interested. Because, you know, he only wants one thing. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing you don't want to give him.
Yeah.
But he's going to say that, like, he'll be there for you, support you. But really, we all know what he wants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Some slutty action in L.A. Yeah. I mean, he made Mark Davis look good in this situation somehow. And that dude has not looked good in like 25 years. Have you seen that haircut?
You know, he drives legitimately something crazy, like Mark Davis drives like 2 or 3 hours to go to some fucking fancy schmancy barber shop or haircut place. Salon, I don't know what the kids are calling him these days.
So is he blind?
To get that fucking whack ass bowl cut. And he probably pays, you know, like $100, a couple hundred dollars too.
Ma'am, you know what I'm here for, the Dumb and Dumber. Give it to me every week.
The Lloyd Christmas, please. The Lloyd Christmas special.
You know what, maybe it comes with a big gulp and that's why he's okay.
Did you see him coming out of the meeting though too? Because he looked like Dick Dastardly, like, rusher, rusher, rusher. He was the most pissed, I think, out of everybody.
Well, it's because who's going to fucking take the guy seriously? Like, he's Kim Jong... you know,
he's not a bad guy. He's come off way better than Dean Spanos in this situation.
Yeah,
I think he's been truthful for the most part. He's been honest with Oakland, and Oakland
doesn't want to leave Oakland.
You can't lie about like any situation.
No, we want to stay in Oakland and build a new stadium. Great.
I mean, you guys know that the Raiders could move to San Diego if the Chargers.
Oh God,
I don't want to think about it.
It doesn't help his case too that he looks partly like the problem child.
He literally is that redheaded stepchild.
He looks like that. They give him that stupid cut. It's the Lloyd Christmas mixed with the problem child.
With a dash of problem child.
Yeah. Just sprinkled on top.
He's the child that, like, when you're on vacation on a road trip, you accidentally leave him at the gas station.
Mm-hmm. Or at the Grand Canyon, Joe Dirt.
He's the Med Griffin.
I wish he was Joe Dirt. I wish Al Davis just fucking left him somewhere and we never heard about him.
Maybe that's why his hair looks like that, because it's glued on top of his head.
Good point.
I will say,
or maybe
though,
he's got like a Donald Trump situation where like no one really knows what the fuck's going on up there. Like it's obviously not like a real hairstyle, but like it's always there. So you just don't know what goes on behind the scenes. It's like a magic show.
It's probably holding his brains in his head.
But that's how you know he doesn't really have any good friends. Because they would tell you that shit was hideous. He's got people all around
him. Oh, of course. He just bangs his 30-year-old wife all day. And runs for president in his spare time.
Let's start a break.
We'll take a break. We will come back. We have a few other things coming about. Brian, you got a movie review.
Yes, I do. I am not going to talk about Star Wars.
Are you still homeless?
I technically am still homeless, yes. I've been picking up my wedding invitations at the post office. I got a P.O. box.
So that's why he brought a sleeping bag into the studio.
I mean, the car you can only sleep in so many times.
Much dry shampoo.
Yeah.
We'll catch
up. That's what I'm calling it, dry shampoo. But anyway, yeah, no Star Wars, because I'll talk about that shit for the fucking whole episode. But I will be talking about The Revenant. I don't know if it's out yet.
No.
It will be. It will have premiered
it will
this past
have,
Friday.
Okay. So, yes, if you have seen it, Still listen to it because I'm going to talk about it and it's going to be cool and you're going to want to hear it. And then if you haven't seen it, I will break it down for you. It just like almost swept the Golden Globes, Best Director, Best Picture, and Best Actor. I might be forgetting something else. So yeah, I'm going to dig into it.
So you're saying
Best Bear.
Oof. So you're saying you probably hated it.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Catch you on the flip side.
Hey everybody, it's Dan from Pop Not Soda here to let you all know about our brand new Facebook page. If you haven't been invited to like it yet, please go do so. It's at facebook.com/popnotsodaofficial. That is the easiest way to find all of our updates. Any questions we may interact with you if we need, you know, some input on some segments we're doing, or we'll announce all our guests that are upcoming. So if you are a fan of our Twitter page, our Facebook page is even better. And don't forget, every Monday we release new episodes on iTunes Podcasts and popnotsoda.podbean.com. So once you're there, head over to Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Just hang out with us all week. It'll be a good time.
Well, you know, folks, if that music doesn't put you in a good mood, I don't know what will. I know some of you are used to hearing some sexy sax come through your ears, but unfortunately, there's these like copyright laws, and you know, we don't exactly own the rights to that. You know, it's all bullshit and legalese. If I won the lottery, I you know, might bribe some lobbyists to get those changed. But get used to that. Mellow, upbeat, translucent sound, if that makes sense, because you're probably going to hear it every week, and I know you're listening every week. So with all that said...
Reminds me of Drive.
It is time for Brian's homeless movie reviews. I guess we're going to stick with that. I should have thought of something more clever since we're starting a new season, but... I kind of dropped the ball on that one. So anyway, first review of the year. This, the 2016 of our Lord. that's going to just drop me casually right into The Revenant, which is the motion picture that I will be discussing this episode. This particular film stars none other than Leonardo DiCaprio. Unfortunately, Raphael, Donatello, and Michelangelo do not make an appearance, but we can always cross our fingers for a sequel. This film, directed by Alejandro Iñárritu. Let me know if I didn't pronounce that correctly, and it's probably the only time I'm going to say it for the rest of this review, so enjoy it. If you're not familiar with Alejandro, he recently directed Birdman, where he was nominated for Best Director, the first Mexican director actually to be nominated for Best Director. So hats, maybe I should say sombrero off to you, senor. Moving on. Also directed such fine films as 21 Grams, Babel, and some other shit. But, you know, he's pretty money right now. I really like Birdman. And if you like Birdman, that will have no influence at all at this movie because they're so wildly different. It's kind of cool, actually, to see a director, you know, much like an actor playing different roles, a director to, you know, shoot completely different movies because, you know, The Revenant is literally just in the wilderness. They did a lot of, you know, there's really no special effects other than this giant fucking bear, which is probably what, you know, most people are talking about. And you've seen a lot in the previews, and it's a really intense scene in the movie as well. But other than that, you know, really no special effects to speak of. Really violent, so I'm always on board for violent movies. A lot of Indians in this film, or to correct myself, Native Americans. So a lot of arrows through the face and scalps that do not stay attached to heads. And yeah, you know, just shit happening in the fucking 19th century, you know, 19th century problems, hashtag. So to give you a little synopsis of what this movie is about, Leo DeCap plays a frontiersman. And you know, there's not really like set jobs back then. You're either like in the military or you're just like doing whatever the fuck you can to, you know, make a dollar out of 10 cents or 15 cents. As they say in the 19th century. So yeah, Leo DeCap knocks up some Indian broad. I mean, you never really know. Like, they don't do a good job of explaining it, but somehow ends up with this little Indian baby who he raises. And there's obviously that relationship, which is a big driver of the film. So Leo DeCap, who was in the military at some point, because you get a little bit of backstory, but they never explain like what really happened. But you know, you get the feeling that he's like a badass. And it just kind of jumps right into just them on an expedition, collecting furs and transporting goods, which is what they're paid to do. Tom Hardy, big character in the movie. He is the, you know, like the main antagonist. He does a great job. What's kind of tough about this movie is that like Leo and Tom Hardy and the other actors in the film, well, maybe not so much, just them two, they like really go method, where you can tell that people who, you know, talked in the 18 whatevers, you know, maybe didn't necessarily have a great vocabulary, maybe slurred their words because their teeth were rotting and have been eating, you know, fucking roasted squirrel for the last decade. So it's kind of hard to understand them. And they have like a lot of, you know, powerful monologues where you're just sitting there like, what the fuck did he just say? You know, I need subtitles with this. But, you know, in the end, plays true to the period of the film. Essentially what happens, you know, Leo gets attacked by this bear. He ends up walking to a den of bears, a pack of bears, a group of bears. There's just like some fucking bears there. And he comes up on some cubs. Little does he know, Mama Bear is right behind him, ready to wreck shop. And boy, howdy, does she just absolutely destroy Leo DiCaprio. Pretty tough to watch in certain parts because they just do a really great job of like showing what would happen if a giant grizzly bear attacked a ragdoll human being. So, you know, that happens. He's all fucked up. They try and transport him. You know, this group that he's with, they end up getting to this area with mountainous terrain. So they're just like fucking tired of dragging paralyzed Leo. He's not paralyzed, but like Leo DiCaprio in a comatose state across the wilderness. So they basically end up leaving him with Tom Hardy and this other dude, Meth Damon from Breaking Bad. If you don't know who I am referring to, he's the blonde kid that kind of looks like Matt Damon that was in Breaking Bad. I believe his name is Will Poulter. And he's been in a few things. But yeah, so him and Tom Hardy left with Leo DiCaprio, and things happen. They basically leave him to die, and then this whole story is about Leo DiCaprio finding Tom Hardy and exacting his revenge for that event. So if you're, let me just start off by saying, if you're expecting like a nonstop action film, which they kind of try and portray in the trailers, you know, you're really not going to get that. It is more of, I think, a film that you can appreciate just the sheer wilderness. So much like if you listen to my review of The Martian, which I'm sure that you did, I kind of described the use of Mars as a character in the film. You know, the director, Alejandro, does a great job of doing that as well. Like, the cinematography is awesome. They did a lot of slow shots. I know I read that, you know, he was, the director was kind of obsessed with lighting, so they had to do a bunch of reshoots and, you know, rush through some shots because he really wanted to use the actual environment as a, you know, a backdrop to the story and all this crazy shit that was going on. So yeah, I mean, definitely tip my hat to him, because the cinematography is awesome, great direction, and I definitely get why he won the Academy Award. Because, you know, even though I describe it as kind of a slow paced movie, and it's, you know, pretty long, like almost 2.5 hours, I think, it doesn't really drag. You know, moves pretty quickly, and there are those, you know, like bear attack scenes and Native American like war scenes that definitely keep the movie going. And then you just have like ridiculous acting from Leonardo DiCaprio, who, you know, may not, I don't want to use the term like trying too hard, because I feel like that really insults Leonardo DiCaprio's acting ability, but I think he's like pressing a little bit more than you normally see. And maybe you saw it a little bit in Wolf of Wall Street too, because he just wants to like just go full board and just like become this character. And, you know, he does a great job in this movie. A couple scenes where maybe like, all right, Leo, like take it down a notch, you know, like you're at a 12, let's get it back down to 10. But with all that said, you know, I can't really think of anybody that would deserve the award over Leo, you know, at this point. You know, he even went as far to like actually eat a real liver in the movie, or bladder, or whatever the fuck he eats. It's disgusting. Yeah. And then I think there's also like a Star Wars type scene on Hoth where he gets a lightsaber out and, you know, slices a horse up and uses the horse as a warming station, if you will. And I think that was real too. Like, that was a real horse carcass that they used. And it's, you know, it's pretty intense if they actually did that. But yeah, I mean, all in all, like it's a really well done film. I liked it a lot. Great direction, great story, and, you know, like I said, great acting from Tom Hardy and Leo DiCap. So, final verdict, The Revenant gets 4 out of 5 quarters.
No way.
Yes, a George Washington.
That's the first full dollar film of 2016 right there.
Well, it is.
It's the only film. Well, of 2016.
It's a full dollar one, though. So,
you can bet your butt on that.
Yeah.
And your bottom dollar.
Right, exactly. So, you know, talked a lot about Leonardo DiCaprio. And for those of you who don't know, Leonardo DiCaprio has...
He was the guy from Titanic.
He was the guy from Titanic.
Growing Pains?
And Growing Pains. What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Gilbert.
Basketball.
Basketball Diaries.
Basketball Diaries. Anyway, all of those great films, among others, almost shocking, Leonardo DiCaprio never won the Travesty. Academy Award for Best Actor, nominated several times. Hey, Benji, look up how many times Leo DiCaprio's been nominated.
I think he prefers to go by short round, actually.
Hear that, short round?
Benjamin Short Round, get on it.
So what do you guys think? Do you think this is his year? He's kind of getting, you know, set up to stand up there with the golden statue.
What do you think, Dan?
I want to say yes, but his co-star Tom Hardy, not only is he great in The Revenant and can get nominated, but he also may be nominated for his movie Legend.
Mm. Oh, the twin. Yeah,
he
the twin
plays
film.
The twin mobsters. And then there's Eddie Raymond, who's playing the first transgender person to undergo surgery, and the Danish girl. And then, you know, Will Smith in Concussion.
So will Leo
tell
win
the
it?
Truth. I actually think the bear from The Revenant will win the Oscar.
Oh,
for
nice.
Best actor.
Nice. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm 99% confident it is a female bear.
Doesn't matter.
Ooh.
That's how it
still win in best actor. Maybe wins both. Just takes it all.
Gender reassignment. First bear to do gender
exactly.
reassignment in a film.
Exactly.
There we
honestly,
are.
I do think that Leo's biggest competition is Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy. But he might not. I think he might get nodded for a supportive role. It seems like with that one.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely
like
supporting.
Well, I'm talking about Legend.
But yes.
Oh, Legend. Yeah, yeah.
But is that fair? Because he's two characters. Can he get nominated twice? Tom
yeah.
Hardy as John Smith and Tom Hardy as Jared Smith.
Yeah. Personally, I think Iñárritu or Alejandro Iñárritu. That guy touches gold. So I think anybody that could actually work with him and be well directed by him in the environment that he puts actors through, he induces something that you don't see off of many actors. And I think he actually, if somebody doesn't go full method, he'll push that person to do full method, which I think is something that you don't really see off a lot of American directors this day and age or whatever. So I think anybody that follows suit with Alejandro Iñárritu is probably going to, you're riding the golden train. I think Leonardo DiCaprio, you've seen him get directed by Scorsese, how many films? And never won best actor.
Because the Academy hates him for some reason.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if they've got a grudge against him.
They hate him because they ain't him.
They're pissed at him because he rode the Titanic train, I think.
Yeah. Well, he's the golden. I think they just know. They're like, yeah, he's going to act for another 20 years. You know, we can give it to him some other time.
Yeah. I'd love to see him win it, though. I think he deserves it.
Yeah.
From what I can tell, he deserves it. He's put in a full-fledged effort where you see a lot of actors chalk it in or phone it in, you know. So, yeah, I think it'll be good.
All right. Well, we are heading to our final break, so stick with us as we dive into
Making a Murderer.
You will not want to miss.
Making a Murderer.
Yeah.
Is it Making a Murderer?
Yeah.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. It's Dan, back with our second break. This is something that's also new to Season 2. We have changed the format of our show to not have one break, but two. The reason why we've done that is so that we can feature more of your advertisements and plugs. If you have a business, if you know anybody that has a business that would like to advertise with us, please contact us. You can contact us on Facebook. At facebook.com/popnotsodaofficial. On Twitter, send us a direct message, pop_notsoda, or you can shoot us an email. Our email address is popnotsodaofficial@gmail.com. We have a couple different types of advertising programs you can buy and are willing to work with anybody. So if you enjoy listening to the show and you want to make sure that people know about your business or what you're doing, please reach out to us, and we would love to work with you.
We'll advertise for cheeseburgers.
Since none of us won the Powerball.
So if you don't know that sound, this is our true crime segment the week? Is that what it's called?
Are you sure about that?
That was a leading question mark the entire time. But yeah, so we're going to be talking about making a murderer.
I want a detective so bad right now after hearing that music.
Vincent D'Onofrio to roll in, kick down the door, accuse us of rape.
You know, he didn't ever really kick down the door.
But he always accused people of rape.
He just like leaned on the door until the hinges busted.
SVU, dude.
Vincent D'Onofrio was on Criminal Intent, okay? Hey, you're talking about Stabler,
okay,
who was on SVU.
Logistics. Ooh.
Two different things.
So special victims aren't
logistics.
Victims
that,
of
that
Criminal
was,
Intent?
No, that
that's
was,
a Law and Order series,
intent,
isn't it? Logistics? Yeah. Law and Order Logistics?
it's
takes
just the,
place in an Amazon distribution center?
It's the secretaries in the DA office just stamping things
out. That should be our series now. We need to come out with that. Law and Order Logistics Division.
Just don't ever insult SVU again.
Jeez.
Do
oh my god, I didn't know you were so
knew?
Sensitive about that.
Yeah, right?
You know what we're all sensitive though about right now is making
injustice.
Yeah, making a murderer. The Stephen Avery documentary on Netflix. Dan, you want to give a rundown on it, what it's about?
Yeah, I mean, if you've got, what is there, 10, 13
10
episodes?
Episodes?
10 episodes. So if you've got 10 hours where you want to be depressed out of your mind, you flip on Netflix, you start this documentary series, and then you won't want to stop watching.
And they're all exclusive to Netflix. You can't find it
yes.
anywhere else, right?
It is a Netflix original.
So I'm going to want to be depressed is what you're saying.
Basically. It's like, you know, you watch a horror movie because you want to, you know, feel those things that a horror movie provokes. That's what it does.
Like a car accident, you just can't take your...
It's not that bad.
Imagine if the victim just doesn't win.
It's
you mean like real life?
It's like, you know when you watch Friday Night Lights and you know the ending of the game, of the big game. Everyone knows what the ending is, but you still watch the movie.
Oh,
that's
mean,
what this series is.
You don't mean like me going to actual high school?
No, I mean like the
now.
Movie with Billy Bob Thornton.
You forget Brian lived Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, I forget that. I
dust
yeah,
off the
so...
Letterman jacket every goddamn week.
Making a Murderer details the story of Stephen Avery, who is a resident of
Manitowoc County
in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
And who was wrongly imprisoned for a rape and assault in 1985.
For 18 years.
For 18 years he was in jail. Because
ooh-wee.
At that time in Wisconsin, you were not eligible for parole unless you admitted guilt. Which is fucked up.
Right? Thanks,
straight,
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And how old was he when he was convicted of this crime?
Oh, I don't know, but I'm going to say he's
19 or 20?
Yeah, it was very young.
Yeah, yeah. So he gets out. So the story is Stephen Avery gets convicted of rape and assault in 1985, mm-hmm. gets out in 2003 for a crime he did not convict because DNA evidence exonerates him from that crime.
Yes, it does.
Takes 18 years.
Gets advised by civil counsel that, hey, you were wrongfully convicted. They disregarded evidence that would have gotten you out of prison a long time ago. You did not need to serve prison for that long. Ends up suing the county for $36 million.
Yeah, you find out that the county wanted to offer him, like, their standard rate for wrongful imprisonment was, like, $25,000.
Yeah.
And then that was way too low. So they were like, well, maybe $25,000 a year. And when they offered that, an attorney looked into his case and found all these misnomers and wrongdoings. And basically were like, yeah, we're going to take $1 million for each year. And then we're going to take twice that much because you did it on purpose.
Yeah. And so this guy gets so this guy gets a year and a half into the suit. They finally start depositioning
October 2004, right?
Yeah. So they finally start depositioning I don't know if that's the proper word.
Yeah, deposing, well, I think.
Deposing, sorry.
Lawyers.
Yeah.
Benji.
Grammar police, sorry.
Short round.
So anyway, they start investigating these officers and asking these officers what happened in October leading up to this suit. A few weeks after that happens, they stumble upon a dead body on Stephen Avery's property.
No, they don't.
They don't, actually.
Yeah,
no, they don't.
That's
I'm sorry,
not
bones.
Even, yeah, like, well, not even that. Like 5 days after the last,
well, we don't want to ruin it.
Deposition, it gets into a new case.
Yeah, we don't want to ruin it
yeah,
or anything.
So what we want to say is that a woman goes missing.
Long story short, he gets accused of a crime and he is completely unaware of what he's being accused of. and has no idea why he's being accused of this crime. That's where the series, I'd say, starts, and that's where it gets cooking after that.
Yeah, that's like the end of episode one.
Yeah, yeah. It's good character development. But I mean...
I mean, it just, it takes you through this this notion of, you know, you think that the USA is the, you know, land of the free, and
that... Innocent until proven guilty.
That's what it should be. However, it shows you, especially in like a small town, how prejudicial the system can be. It shows you how much control law enforcement officials can have in certain situations. And it can show you how when mistakes are made, that those people in those positions are rarely held accountable.
Well, and the I'd say at the end of the day,
that's even just from the 1985 case.
Well, yeah, and I'd say at the end of the day too, what you realize, and it's not giving anything away, but you realize that the burden of questioning any sort of evidence or any sort of process that happened in the case or any trial, the burden is on the defense, which the defense is completely, if it's not a public defender that is employed by the state who's also prosecuting the same person. It's employed by somebody that likely doesn't afford the best defense. So, you know, at the end of the day, the state has a very, very high leverage to plea negotiate and do certain things, which I think is where it somewhat gets, you know, a few episodes later, and we won't say much about it. But what do you think, Dan, is your conclusion to this whole thing?
Well, I had an interesting experience watching Making a Murderer because I had studied this case actually in my undergraduate, my media and law and ethics class. We went over this case, and so because at this time it was fresh, it was only a couple years old, and so watching this just made me very upset because I knew the outcome, and to see some of the things that, like, on Law and Order, people who write fiction would be like, "No, wait, that's too far fetched. That, you know, we would never get away with that." And then you see that happen in real life, and you know that they did get away with it. You're like, oh, well, holy shit. And it just makes you sad. It does call people to action. So I do like the series, but I will say I hate sketch artists now with a passion. Because this one mofo.
Are you going to name your kid Eugene?
Hell no. Like, if I meet anyone named Eugene, I just want to punch him. Because
that is a stupid name.
Yeah, but you just this one person that's a part of the 1985 case is so prejudiced and so ignorant that contributed to taking 18 years away from this man's life and is never held accountable.
Well, I think what's concerning about that too, Dan, is what when you talk about that, the prejudice that was behind an individual or a family. The prejudice, it's hard to cut off a stream of prejudice, and the stream of prejudice will always go through power, and that's what you kind of see with this police department, is you can never get to a point where somebody actually full-on takes a cut to believe that these people are normal citizens of society, and that's what you see with the sheriff's department, you know, decade and decade over with this case is... There's this prejudice that's behind one individual that it's just mind-boggling to see.
It definitely makes you want the federal government to conduct all criminal investigations and have professional jurors because of how difficult it is in a small rural area to have a fair trial. It's nearly impossible because of the media.
I mean, it's almost like a Salem witch hunt. That's what it's getting to back in the day.
Yeah. And it's, you know, in using this as an example in really any small town, it's just a microcosm of what exists, you know, in a bigger scope.
In the judicial system.
Right. Where power is going to do everything it can to stay in power and will cut a lot of throats to be able to stay in that high seat. And, you know, when that justification is made, it's sad and tragic, but it happens all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, well, we can just ruin this one person's life for, you know, this family's life or this company's life. But in the end, you know, the greater majority is going to still make out.
Yeah.
So it's justifiable.
And I think that that's, and Brian is, even though he hasn't seen it yet, he's barking up the right tree, because what I can equate that to when you see the series is there is this unbelievable offense when you question authority or anybody in power, where beyond looking at fact or anything where it's just a legitimate question, people are offended if you actually ask a question with somebody that's in superior power. And at the point where I would be concerned when you watch this documentary is if these people are acting right now, contextually, where they're offended, where they're, hey, we handled this right back in the day. But you see where it's happening currently, and they have such an arrogance about we're handling this right.
Yeah, man.
And any question that happens is just, it's offensive to them with this point of arrogance. And that's what's mind-blowing to see, is it's an authority that takes such a, we know what is right, and we know what we're going to do, and, you know, we completely understand the situation.
Yeah, like what you're doing at, there is one instance where it comes to the original conviction in 1985, where about 10 years after, there's new evidence, and the sheriff's department goes, no, don't worry about it, we got the right guy.
Yeah.
So you learn at that point that these 18 years didn't have to be 18 years. And I haven't been that upset watching something on Netflix since I watched The Departed and I thought Matt Damon was going to get away.
Matt Damon.
Like, I'm waiting for, like, Marky Mark of this situation just to show up at, what's Lieutenant Link? Is that his name?
Oh, yeah, James Link.
Yeah. Marky Mark needs to go pay him a visit in some booties with some gloves and a trash suit and just...
What's mind-blowing to me is you see beyond all this chaos that happens with the Manitowoc County or whatever. You see all this just I mean, pardon my language, clusterfuck that happened with just how a sheriff's county can handle an investigation and a conviction and a prosecution and a conviction and everything. And then it blows your mind to see that Colburn is the one that's walking out Brendan Dassey after he's been convicted. And it's just like, you know, how like just like unaware is this county of where their line is, like where the line is being drawn and how far they're stepping beyond it. It's mind blowing.
Well, hopefully the popularity of this series, which is crazy. How it's caught fire, you know?
I mean, would you compare it, because you haven't seen it yet, but
not seen it yet.
Would you compare it to what you heard of Serial? Is it on the level of Serial, or do you think it's bigger than Serial?
Yeah, and I'm probably going to do the exact same thing that I did with Serial. Heard everybody talk about it, everybody listened to it, tell me to listen to it, and then just, you know, fear of missing out, I'm like, okay, I got to fucking listen to it. And... you know, it's very engaging. You realize why it's so popular. And same with this. I mean, eventually I'll get around to it. But, you know, like Dan mentioned, it's hard for me to justify dedicating all this time to watch the series just to be, like, pissed off and sad and depressed at the end of it, where, you know, I could watch a couple episodes of Family Guy and be good.
Totally makes sense.
Well, I do want to say that we did bring this up not only because this is a very popular show right now, but today Stephen Avery did file a motion to receive a new trial.
That's right. Yep.
So, and I know there's been about 500 signatures on a U.S. petition, you know, the White House petitions, to get him pardoned, but the federal government doesn't work that way.
Yeah, which unfortunately, I mean,
a state issue, and so
right.
I think,
and the governor's already came out and said he's not going to do it.
Yeah, and I don't think a pardon may be the right thing, but I do think a new trial can do some good. If, because honestly, at the end of this, I don't know if he's completely innocent, but I do know many, many mistakes were made, and so I urge you to look into it.
Do you think that Brendan Dassey has anything to do with it?
No, he's I think honestly the most depressing part of the entire series.
Yeah, I think there are heartbreaking parts you see that as much as you see like what Dean Strang talks about there when this is happening to an adult that's 45 and they've already taken half of his life away at 45, but then you see it happen to a 17-year-old person, you see a potentially recycled history happen. That's where it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. So I do urge you look into it, read about it, check it out on Netflix. It's definitely worth the viewing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And have a video full of puppies playing teed up to watch afterwards.
Yeah. Please God.
Or I think there's like a hamster eating like a little mini burrito. You can watch that. That's hilarious. You can watch people put cucumbers behind their cats and watch them freak the fuck out. That'll cheer you up.
Yeah, probably I would say the most frustratingly sad piece I've ever seen in a long time.
It's like if Schindler's List was 10 hours.
It's tough to watch. It is tough to watch.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good season premiere, gents.
Yeah, it was very, very good.
Yeah. Knocked that shit out of the park.
We've sounded smooth, sexy, and like we haven't skipped a beat since our, off season.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't forget how to talk. That would have been awkward.
Yeah, that definitely would have been.
I am amazed by this. Yeah. Well, I am amazed by this mic equipment that we've actually come upon. My God, we're an actual studio.
Yeah, Brett's had a hard on for.
Yeah,
like
I'm really glad there's a pop filter blocking you from getting your mouth any close to that mic, because I was worried about the things you may do.
No, this is a good studio, guys. I'm very proud of us.
Thank you for tuning in to our season premiere. If you would like more Pop Not Soda throughout the week, make sure to check out our minute clips that we'll be releasing every week from here on out. You can listen to Dan's Dirt Dab, Brett's One Up, or Brian will let you know what he's watching. You can follow
what
us
else
on,
I'm watching what besides else movies.
You can follow us on Twitter at Pop_NotSoda. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/popnotsodaofficial. You can also follow the three of us on Twitter. Brian is at BOwens619. Brett is at niecespieces. And I'm at Dan_Perez_. So every Monday on iTunes Podcast and popnotsoda.podbean.com, you will find brand new spanking episodes. So don't miss us too much. We are back. Thank you for coming back with us. And we are looking forward to a great season 2.
Let us know what you think about our opinions on the Stephen Avery case, too.
Yes, we would be very happy to entertain your conspiracy theories of making a murderer.
We got that Facebook interactive page now.
Yay, and Twitter's always interactive.
That's true.
Yes.
You can slide up in our DMs.